Hi, you guys. Welcome back to the Uptown Rundown podcast. My name is Norris, and in today's episode, we're going to talk about how you guys have managed to get on my last nerves. I want to talk about the news this week has been pretty boring. Pretty boring. I mean, what's there really to talk about? There's really nothing. It's been pretty boring, and so I want to talk about only one thing in the news this week, which was minimum wage, but I want to tie it into a much larger discussion, a much larger topic. And in today's episode, we are going to talk about how you guys have failed me, you have failed yourselves, and you will probably continue doing so, right? Right. So I want to talk about class solidarity. I want to talk about the lack thereof when it comes to us, when it comes to us regular people, us peasants. That's what I want to talk about. And I want to talk about so that's really the main thing, the lack of class solidarity, and sort of about the American dream, the myth of the American dream, because it truly is a myth at this point, right? I really only have a few points written down in order for me to stick to this, but I'm going to be completely real. I know I'm not going to be able to stick to this little outline that I have, which is why I think that this discussion, this little topic is going to be two parts, maybe even three parts. You know, you'll get part two later. I don't know, maybe next week, maybe the week after. But the point is, expect tangents. If you're not here for the tangents, I don't know what you're here for. So there's going to be tangents. There's going to be, you know, it's going to end. I only have 60 minutes and here I am boring you with all this preamble. So let's get into it. So let's discuss the American dream. So we all know this trope, this sort of, I mean, it is a literary device at this point, right? I mean, we probably, if you went to high school in America in the last, you know, 20 years, you probably had to write a 5-paragraph essay about the American dream. You probably had to analyze books and analyze novels and be like, oh, the American dream is such and such and such, right? So let's discuss the American dream. It comes from the idea of the American dream. It comes from a book that came out in 1931 called The Epic of America. It was written by some guy named James Truslow Adams, some rich guy, or, well, he came from rich parents, right? So he writes this book. He had a career as a writer, and remember, he has rich parents, because you can't be a writer unless you have rich parents. Come on! Really, though, you cannot be a writer and be able to devote your time to that craft if you don't have rich parents to fall back on. So, we got this book, Epic of America. I have not read it, and I will not read it, because any white, rich person's view on America in the 1930s, please, please, it is not going to be realistic. It's going to be how great it is. When meanwhile, who was America great for at that point in time? Not a lot of people. Not a lot. It wasn't great for the Native Americans. Hello, Indian Removal Act. Wasn't too great for black people. Hello, slavery. Hello, segregation. So, but anyway, in this book, according to summaries, because again, I'm not reading this mess, it has to do with, you know, America's accomplishments and how it's become so great in such a short period of time and all of this. And in that book, in the book, The Epic of America, there's a few paragraphs about what James calls the American dream, which I'm not even going to go into it. We all know what the American dream is, right? Living behind a white picket fence in a suburb with your wife and 2.5 kids. That's what the American dream is, right? I can't think of anything that sounds more boring than that. I really can't think of anything that sounds more boring. But that's not the point. The point is, that the American dream most certainly has evolved. Everyone's American dream is quite different, but let's not lose sight of the fact that just because everyone's American dream has changed does not mean that their American dream is attainable. Let's be truly honest. We must be honest because we are all fed all these lies all the time about how, oh, if you just work hard, oh, if you just try a little harder, if you work a few more hours, if you put in a little more hours, if you pray a little more, if you get on your knees more, I'm in the business of telling you guys that you're dumb. That I truly am in the business of telling you that you're dumb. If you think this is true, then you are dumb. Okay? I'm sorry. Because history has taught us that this is incorrect. And if you don't know history, you can look at the present and know that this is false. This is false. Now, let's discuss the American dream in the context of literature. We have seen the American dream in literature. We were forced to read books in high school, books in college, novels. Let's discuss. Who read Death of a Salesman by Arthur Miller? Death of a Salesman. I thought it was a very boring play. I thought it was very boring, but it highlights a very unsettling truth. Now, what's Death of a Salesman about? Well, you got main character Willie. Remember Willie Loman? He's like 60-something. He's in Brooklyn. He's kind of broke. His wife, I think her name is Linda. And he has two sons, I believe. One is like the sort of trophy son. One is sort of the, like, he... Remember early on in the play when he's talking about... I can't remember which one of his sons he's talking about. But he's talking about one of his sons. And is saying how, you know, he's so athletic. And he's so handsome. And da 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 da, and all of this, and so we're talking about his American dream or lack thereof, how he has not been able to attain it because he has just gotten laid off, and it's sort of his realization that he has become useless in the white collar world. That's what the play is about, and. You know, Willie has some friends who are seemingly well off, and he's thinking, how come I'm not this well off? And Willie is so concerned, he is so consumed by his self-perceived ineptitude that he has created. Remember when he creates these whole scenarios? Like page upon page of just his imagination and him imagining a better life for himself. Meanwhile, he's 63. Like, and I'm so sorry to tell you guys, but if you're 63 and you don't have the life that you imagine for, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. You're just not. And he is so consumed by his perceived self-ineptitude that he's attempted suicide. He's attempted suicide more than once, because remember when they make a reference, I forgot where they make that reference, but he's talking to Linda, and they make a reference to the fact that he has done this before. So you know, that is just one little example about the American dream and its sort of unattainability. Now, a much more known example of the American dream in literature is Gatsby, The Great Gatsby. Now, this is another book that I used to think it was really boring. And I think about it now, and I still think it's boring. but I think it touches on, it's very significant. We know that The Great Gatsby won. It came out when? 1925? 26? And so, who's our narrator? Nick Carraway, right? So, he's, you know, he meets Gatsby. He meets rich people. Now, let's talk about Gatsby and how he's able to achieve his American dream. Remember, let's keep in mind when we're thinking about how Gatsby achieved his American dream, how we're taught to achieve our American dream. We are taught to work a job. We are taught to hustle harder. We are taught to go the extra mile for our employer. What did Gatsby do? He got his money through criminal enterprise. Remember when he met Nick met Meyer Wolfsheim and he's talking about, oh, I fixed the World Series in 1919? Remember that? Remember how Meyer Wolfsheim was talking and was saying how he and Gatsby made all their money as bootleggers, as rum runner, right? Rum runners? Is that what they called it? Remember how they made all their money through criminal enterprise, and they are living high on the hog. They are living good. Gatsby has the best parties. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that later on in the novel, we learn that Gatsby doesn't, you know, he just feels so empty because he can't be with Daisy because, right? Because Daisy's with Tom, right? Daisy's with Tom, and Tom Buchanan is old money, and he's new money, and da-da-da-da. I don't care about that. Money is money to me. Money is money to us peasants, right? It's money. Money is money, okay? I don't care if it's old. I don't care if it's new. I don't care if it's future. It is money, and I need it. We peasants need it. So, how funny that even in the 20s, F. Scott Fitzgerald knew that, you know, you could try to achieve your American dream by being an upstanding citizen. But let's be real. All these rich families have achieved their money through criminal enterprise. All of them. Every single one of them. And then over the generations, they clean up their act, and now they're bankers. Now they're lawyers. Now they're real estate developers. Now they're doctors. Now their names are on college auditoriums. Now they're donors to St. Jude's Hospital. Now they're doing all these great things. When, let's be honest, if their ancestors were arrested, then none of this would happen. You know what I'm saying? Do you know? Now, I'm not telling you that, oh, the only way to achieve your American dream is to commit criminal acts, but I'm just saying, it's just funny how these rich families, that's how they got their start, right? It's funny, right? I think it's quite funny. We know how these rich families got their start. We know how the Kennedys got their start. We know how Joseph Kennedy, father of JFK and RFK, was scamming everybody left and right. And then when FDR said, oh, why don't you create some laws about financial trading and being a stockbroker? Create these laws. Lots of the laws we have today as it pertains to being a stockbroker, as it pertains to being in the financial services industry, a lot of that came from JFK's father writing these laws. When, let's not forget that JFK's father got rich by doing these fraudulent things. Let's not forget that. Let's not forget that he made that he made all of his money and then went around and was able to write laws and say, now this is illegal. I already made all my money doing this the fraudulent way. Now you cannot. Let's not forget how these rich families have done criminal acts and get rich, and then later on clean up their act. We're not going to forget. I'm not going to forget that. Sorry about it. I'm not forgetting that. No. So, next. I want to get into this minimum wage discussion. Now, in the news recently as what? 2 days ago? A minimum wage going to $15, it's dead. So what does that mean? That means that lots of people are going to be stuck with a federal minimum wage of $7.25. Now, this has been the minimum wage since July of 2009. Let me tell you, 2009. And before that, I believe the minimum wage was $6.85, and then $5.85. Now, why is it okay to pay people this little money? Why are people okay with paying people this kind of money? This sort of ties into the discussion of class solidarity. Now, we are going to have to take a very deep look into ourselves at this point of my little talk here. When we peasants are doing better than other peasants, that's not a victory. That's not something they are not someone to look down upon and say, why aren't you working harder? Now listen, I myself, I can do the hustle thing. I can do the grind thing. You know what I mean? You know how you see those memes? I just saw a meme and I took a screenshot of it and I just remembered it. And I was just like, are you kidding me? This meme says, so it's a picture of Elon Musk, and beneath it says, the caption says, you have enough time, 168 hours per week, 40 at work, 7 at the gym, 56 sleeping, 65 hours left. Stop wasting, start doing. And then someone wrote their own little caption on there and said, damn, a whole 65 hours. And that's if you're sleeping 8 hours a day. If you sleep less, you got more time. Why is sleeping less something to be lauded? Why is sleeping less something that you are aspiring to do? Why is that? Why? You know, it's something, and I know exactly why. I know exactly, and I'm going to tell you why. And I don't even need to tell you why, because you all know. You all know why. Because we have all succumbed to this idea that we can all work a little harder. Now, again, I myself, I am okay with doing this. It's just in me, and I truly do wonder if my circumstances were different. Would I feel this way? Probably not. Probably not. I probably wouldn't feel this way because I am in the position where I can handle it. I'm in the position where I actually could stand to dial it back a little bit and still be fine. There are people who can't dial it back. There are people who cannot dial it back. There are people who have to go out there and work their full-time job one place and then pick up hours somewhere else because their pay is so low. Are they not working hard enough? Is that what you're telling me? Are you telling me that people who are working jobs that are paying $7.25 an hour for 40 hours a week and then they go and do some other job? I don't know, maybe Uber, maybe a food delivery service. Are you telling me that they're not working hard enough? Is that what you're telling me? Because that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like you're saying to me that just because you yourself, a peasant, are doing better than a different peasant, that you are working harder than they are. And I'm sorry, that is not the truth. That is not the truth. Not at all. Not at all. And listen, I am the first one to say that I don't want to work hard. And therefore, I don't. The thing is, I will be at least I'll be okay. Now, what I mean is, I do try to do, you know, 10 different things. One, because I want the money. Two, because I have quite a few interests. But the thing is, no one should have to do 10 different things. No one should have to have their hand in 50 different pots just to make ends meet. No one should have to do that. If you want to, cool. I see no problem in people doing 50 million things in 10 hours if they want to, if you want. But if it's something you have to do, because if not, you have to decide if your lights are going to be on or if you're going to eat, then we have a problem. We have a big problem. And the thing is, the worst part of it all is that you liberal peasants think that those who are underneath you socioeconomically deserve to be there. There is this culture of deserving things. And deserve is a very strange word to me. It's very strange. Because what do we deserve? What do we actually deserve? Because what do you do? What do we do really with ourselves? We aren't really contributing so much good to the world, are we? So therefore, why do we deserve to do this? Why do we deserve to go on vacation? That's something that's very strange to me. The deserve word, it's very colonizing. Listen to this. And here's a tangent, you guys. Here we go. It's very colonization to me, the deserve word. Listen, I'm gonna make sense soon. The deserve word. I deserve to go on vacation. I deserve to do X, Y, and Z. Because I did X. Now, what did you do? You would deserve to go on vacation. Why? Because you worked for 5 weeks straight? Like, you're doing what you're just... That's just what you're supposed to do. That's the bare minimum. That's the bare minimum. Let's not delude ourselves. Most people, most peasants, especially the liberal peasants, they would be the colonizers if they could. If the only reason why they aren't colonizers is because they aren't in the position to be such. That is the truth. Because think about your social media, you guys. When you're on Facebook and you see people saying, oh, I deserve a trip. Or you're talking to people, oh, I deserve a trip. Meanwhile, we are still neck deep in a freaking pandemic. Remember, we're still neck deep in Corona. And these people saying that they deserve to go somewhere. Why do you deserve to go somewhere in a pandemic? You know what I mean? You know, this deserve word, it is truly, it's very colonization. It's very, again, I'm going to make sense soon. It's the language that people have used to justify going to a foreign land, killing everyone, and claiming it for their own. It's very manifest destiny. You sound very manifest destiny when you say, I deserve to do X. I deserve to have X. It's very manifest destiny. It sounds very, for the Bible told me so. It sounds very discovery doctrine. All these things, like, does it mean something? And it means something heinous. All of these things are words that are attributed to heinous acts in history and today. Let's really talk. Discovery doctrine. Remember when the Pope, it was in the 1400s or the 1500s, discovery doctrine. The sort of the idea that if I go out and find this land, it is mine to do with what I please. That's the discovery doctrine. In a nutshell, that's discovery doctrine. That's what caused everyone to go out to wherever they wanted to go. That's what caused people, the English, to come to America, kill all the natives, and push them somewhere else. That's what caused the French, the Dutch, the English to go into African countries, take what they want, and push the natives somewhere else. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Does this make sense? Am I making any sense yet? So when you say, I deserve to go somewhere during a pandemic, it sounds very, like, how are you going to escape a pandemic by bringing the pandemic somewhere else? Like, why are you travel? Again, you guys, I'm going on a tangent, and I am sorry. I am sorry. We are already 25 minutes in, and I am nowhere near done with this little list that I have here. Nowhere near done. But when you guys say things like, so, like, such and such job doesn't deserve to get paid $15 an hour, what are you really saying? What are you saying? Why don't they deserve? How do you get to deserve to do something, but they don't? Am I now making any sense about this deserve word? I know it took me a while to get here, I'm sorry, but am I making any sense now? Why do you deserve to do something? Because you're a peasant too. Let's not forget, you're a peasant too. You are no different than the next peasant who might be homeless. It don't take much for you to be, I'm sorry. If you're a regular person, it will not take much for you to be homeless. We are far closer. It is far more likely that we regular people would become homeless than billionaires. It is far more likely. Why? Because that is just the way that it has been set up to be. I'm going to write down, actually, another talking point. Another talking point. Barriers to entry. I'm going to come back to that, you guys. I wrote it down so I didn't forget. But the thing is, we are far closer as regular people to be homeless than to be billionaires. So again, I ask you, why do we have no class solidarity? Why have we no class solidarity? If we are to achieve our American dream, we can only do it together. And so at some point you start to ask yourself, who is the American dream for? Who is it for? It's not really for, I can tell you who it's not for. It's not for the Native Americans. How funny, right? How funny that Americans will not achieve the American dream. When I say Americans in this aspect, I'm talking about the Native Americans. Let's discuss real quick how we got 90% of them that are wiped out, that were murdered. You guys, like, who is the American dream for? Is it for black people? Probably not. Probably not. Let's be honest. We got redlining all over the place. We got, redlining, that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day. We got people still, we got real estate agents that are still getting in trouble for steering. And what I mean by steering is bringing certain people to certain homes because you as the agent perceive them as being people to live in such and such neighborhoods. This is how segregation occurs in the present day. We have people still getting in trouble for that. Is the American dream for them? Is the American dream for those black Americans who get steered elsewhere? Who is the American dream for? Who is it for? I need to know. It's definitely not for the minimum wage workers. One, it's not for the minimum wage workers because the rich people are telling us that it's not. But what's even worse is that other peasants are telling peasants that they don't deserve their American dream. That's the crazy part. That is the crazy part because you guys, as long as you're doing better than the next peasant, then you're okay. Then you feel a little bit better about yourself. Have you heard this rhetoric of why does a burger flipper get to get $15 an hour? Why shouldn't they get $15 an hour? Because you think that your accomplishments are going to be suddenly devalued. When, let's be honest, you probably haven't accomplished much. You haven't accomplished much if you're concerned about someone getting $15. Because if someone making $15 makes you crazy, what are you making? 17? 18? 20? You're not making nothing either. So you're not some great, like, you're not, you act like you live in an ivory tower and you're looking down at people. That's the thing. That's why I say that most peasants would be colonizers if they could. Because you already think you're so much better than others. When really, you're the same. Please, when you turn the brightness up, You all look the same. We all look the same in the light. When the light is hitting us, we look the same. So please stop. Please stop assuming. Please stop acting like you are so much better than someone because they're homeless. Because again, it don't take much for you to be homeless. It doesn't take much for you to be disabled. A little car accident, it won't take much for you not to ever walk again. Honestly, it doesn't take much for you to be disabled, to lose your livelihood. It doesn't take much. So that's why I ask, where is the class solidarity? We see it amongst rich people. We see class solidarity amongst them. They will never let another rich person fall. Rich people don't let rich people fall. Never. They will never do that. That's why Jeff Epstein is dead. Because rich people have class solidarity. That's why he's dead. Let's be completely honest. That's why he's gone. You guys are all like, what's the conspiracy? I just solved it. Rich people don't want other rich people to fall. Why? Because if they do, then it won't be long before you come for them too. It won't be long. Remember, now on a much less serious scale, remember last year when the Ellen DeGeneres Show was accused of racism, accused of targeted hate against their employees? And remember when all the other celebrities were coming out in support and were like, oh, Ellen's always been so nice to me. When it's like, no one expects Ellen DeGeneres to be mean to you, Katy Perry. You're rich. No one expects Ellen DeGeneres to be rude to you, Ashton Kutcher. You're rich. Rich people have class solidarity. And the craziest part of it all is that they talk crazy to us peasants, but you peasants have class solidarity with the rich because you think that you're going to become rich. Remember when I was talking about how we are told that in order to achieve our American dream, that we are to work harder, hustle harder, pray harder? You think that these rich people have done this. You think that these rich people have done this, and that's how they have achieved their American dream. When remember, we know how these rich families have gotten their money. We know how they got their money. So why are you having class solidarity with the rich when you are not rich? You are sitting there in your serfdom, in your peasantry, and you are bowing down to Donald Trump. You are bowing down to Bill. You're bowing down to Elon. You're bowing down to Jeff. You are waking up every morning to suck dick of these men, and they are donating to politicians who vote against you. That's what you're doing. You are swallowing these men's cum, and they are in turn donating their money to politicians who hate you, who hate peasants, who hate regular people. Let's be honest. I'm not even gonna. I can't even tiptoe around the subject anymore. The subject at hand that you guys will. You guys think you're going to be rich. And that's why you see yourselves in these people. You see yourselves in them. You think I can do that. But the fact is, if you weren't born rich, you will probably not be rich. Let's be honest. If you are born poor, you will die poor. I'm so sorry to tell you. It's almost like, you know how when you meet people in your adult life and you know, oh, they probably weren't told as a child that they sucked at things. No one told you guys that you are going to be poor forever. No one told you that. No one has told you that. You guys love when these rich people are getting more money. There's a report saying that Jeff Bezos will probably be a trillionaire by the time 2026 rolls around. A trillionaire, you guys. Imagine that. We have just gotten through voting on a $1.9 trillion stimulus. $1.9 trillion. Remember, this money is meant to go toward businesses, meant to go towards charitable organizations, meant to go, hopefully, in our pockets, us American people's pockets. Almost $2 trillion, and we are talking about some one person potentially being a trillionaire. I don't think you guys are hearing me. I didn't say a billionaire with a B. I said trillionaire with a tree. I'm talking about someone having trillions, and we have just voted on trillions being dispersed amongst everyone in the country. I'm going to say that again. We are talking about someone potentially having trillions, and we just voted on trillions being dispersed amongst everyone in the country. Why are you okay with someone having trillions when you can't even get people to vote on your behalf to give you a piece of the trillions? We have been groveling for stimulus checks for the last, 9 months? We can barely even get... Remember when we got that 600 little measly dollars? You guys, I'm so far off topic. I truly don't even know what... I don't know what has happened. But remember when we can't even get a freaking stimulus. We can't even get $1,400 in our freaking pockets. We can't even get that. So, again, I ask, who is the American dream for? Let's go over some numbers. I like numbers. I'm a numbers person. So, let's go over some incomes. When it comes to Americans, we're going to go over some info here. So this info comes from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So you can't tell me that this isn't a good source. I'm sorry. I won't hear it. I know that a lot of you people subscribe to conspiracy theorists. I know a lot of you people subscribe to your liberal news. Listen, let's discuss the largest... The most prevalent professions in America. In America. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they update their findings every May. So this data is from May 2019. I don't know what happened in May 2020. Probably because we were in a freaking pandemic. So what labor? No one had a job. We had 30 million people filed for unemployment last year. That's another thing. I'm not even going to get off topic right now. So, the number one profession in this country is retail salespeople. Retail salespeople. Now, what is the average salary? The average income of a retail person? Apparently, it's $8.75. Okay. Next, fast food workers. Those are the second most prevalent workers in the country. In the country, you guys. Next, cashiers. Next, home health aides. Now, you would think that home health aide, it kind of sounds like home health aide would make a decent living, but I'm here to tell you that you're wrong. The average home health aide, average annual salary, $35,000. That's not enough. I'm sorry to tell you, that's not enough. I know plenty of you would say, well, that's what they deserve to make because, you know, that's just how you guys think. You guys think that, like, certain jobs are unskilled labor. Then why don't you go do it? Why don't you go do it? Flipping burgers is unskilled labor. How come you're not doing it if it's so easy, right? If it's so easy, right? Why don't you go do it? Why don't you do it? But you don't. But you don't because you look down on them. But you have no problem using that service, right? You have no problem rolling up to Wendy's and arguing with them about a freaking sandwich, right? What is wrong with you people? See, the class solidarity. Where is it? Where is it? So we got home health aide as number 4 most prevalent profession in this country. Next, registered nurses. Now, registered nurses, the average registered nurse income is $60,000 to $65,000 a year. That's not enough. That is not enough. I'm sorry to tell you. Now, I know that plenty of you might think that that's plenty of money, but I am in the business of telling you again. I'm in the business of telling you that you're dumb. You are dumb. Sorry to tell you. You are dumb. Registered nurses need to make triple that. I'm sorry. Registered nurses need to make $200 to $250. And, yep, I am being completely true. That is what I truly think. $200,000, $250. Absolutely. If you're in the emergency room, especially if you're an ER, imagine being an ER nurse. And you are bombarded with people in life-threatening situations. People are coming in there being wheeled in from a car accident. Being wheeled in and they were, I don't know, their husband tried to murder them. You know what I mean? You could be the deciding factor if they live or die. You could influence that. And you want to tell me? It's what you're telling me that you think that they deserve only $60,000 a year to $60,000 to administer, you know, IDs to think on their feet to save someone's life. I'm gonna need them to make $300,000. Honestly, $300,000. Absolutely, $300,000, $300,000, $350,000. Honestly, that is the most stressful thing that I can, that is one of the most stressful things that I can think of at this point in time. That is so, and now we're in a pandemic. They need $300,000, yes. And I am not, $300,000, $350,000, at least, please, stop freaking playing with me, you guys. $300,000. Give them what they're... This is what they deserve. $350,000. Yes. Next, we have office clerks. Now, I don't know. I mean, this apparently makes up almost 3 million people. 3 million people's jobs is being an office clerk. Basic, and they deserve more too. Being an office clerk, you know where all the important documents are to keep that business up and running. You know where they are. If you're an office clerk, you know where they are. You do the accounts payable. You do the accounts receivable. You probably sign off on people's checks. You know where all the important information is kept. You are responsible for updating the spreadsheets. You are responsible for updating the executives who probably don't know anything, who wouldn't know anything unless you were there. You deserve more. You deserve $100,000, $150,000. That's what you deserve. And I didn't look up their salary, but I bet you it's probably like $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. Pennies. Peanuts. When I tell you these people are working for peanuts, absolutely peanuts, I'm not even playing. You guys think $40,000 salary is a good salary. You guys think $50,000 salary is a good salary. Let's really be honest. $50,000 salary would change most people in America. It would change their lives. It would change their lives. But it doesn't change the fact that even with that life-changing salary, they are no closer to a true American dream. They are no... That's why, again, I ask, who is it for? Who is the American dream for? Next, we got laborers and freight / stock / material movers. So I take this to mean warehouse-type workers, right? Warehouse people. You deserve more. This is hard. This is harder labor than what I am used to. This is harder labor than what I want to do. And I speak from a place of being able to decide that I don't want to do this type of labor. I am not oblivious to the fact that plenty of people don't have the option to say, I don't want to do this. Because if they don't, then they won't eat. I am not oblivious to the fact that a lot of people cannot say, I don't want to do this hard labor. Because if they don't, they won't have lights. Come on, you guys. And you guys say that these people don't deserve a higher minimum wage? These are the people who you think deserve to live. You think they deserve to live in poverty. You think they deserve to live in poverty. The Amazon workers. How come you guys don't stand in solidarity with the Alabama Amazon workers who are trying to get unionized? Why are you, as peasants, against other peasants trying to do some collective bargaining? Why are you, as peasants, against other peasants rising up? Why are you against that? Why are you against that? Because you think that you're so far above them. You think you're so far above them, but you're not. You're the same. You are the same. And last, the last three on this list is customer service, waiters and waitresses, and general managers. You guys, these are the occupations that most Americans have. This is America. And to me, if you can't stand with these people in solidarity, then who are you standing with? If you can't stand with the majority of Americans and stand in that plight that we all share, who are you standing with? Who are you standing with? Are you standing with Jeff? Are you standing with Bill? Are you standing with Warren? Are you standing with Donald? Is that who you're standing with? You're standing with 10 people rather than the 320 million others. Why do you do that? Why do you want to stand with, why do you not want to be, we are the same. Why do you want to stand with people who are so far away from you? They vote against you every chance they get. Every chance they get, they vote against you. These policies are set in forth. These policies are set to keep you poor. That's why I say if you're born poor, you will die poor. You will. You will. I'm sorry to tell you. Now, before I go even more off topic, I think I'm gonna end it here, you guys. I'm just gonna call it quits for today. And you know, my last words are, you know, I don't even know what my last words are. I need you guys to, like, I don't know, read a book, read a few books, watch a documentary about poverty, and really look at why people are where they're at. Let's not forget that most people are where they're at is because that's how they were, that's where, we all don't have the same starting line. Some people have a head start. You guys think that everyone is the same because you have subscribed to this idea that if you work a little harder, then you can get everything. But that's just simply not the case. You guys think that you have a chance to be a billionaire like Jeff, but you were conceived in the backseat of a truck and you were born in a barn. You know what I mean? You aren't the same. You're not the same. You hear about Jeff Bezos and, he started Amazon in his garage. Let's actually look into things a little bit. Stop reading memes. And then if you actually did a little bit of digging, you would know that that house that garage that he started Amazon in was a house that his parents rented for him, that his rich parents rented for him, a house that sold for seven figures, a house that sold for seven figures. And you guys think that you can do that? You didn't start at the same point. You didn't start at the same starting line. You did not. He started 50 light years ahead of you. And you think you can achieve the same thing? That is impossible. Of course there are outliers. Of course there are outliers. How many are there? How many can you name? You can name some celebrities, but most of you aren't going to be celebrities. You're just not special enough. I'm sorry to tell you, you're not that special. You're not. None of us are that special. None of us are that, like, wow, wow. Like, you know how you see these pop stars or these celebrities and they have it, whatever it is? Most of you don't have it. You don't have it, okay? And I need you to really understand that. And that's okay. It's okay that you don't have it. It's okay that you didn't start at the same point as a Jeff, as a Bill, as a Elon. It's okay that you didn't start there. But it's not gonna be okay for us if we don't get a little bit of class solidarity and really examine who is this American dream for. Because I know who it's for, and it's not for the majority of Americans. The sad part is that you guys are mostly okay with it not being for the majority of Americans because they don't deserve it. You guys need a mindset shift, a huge shift. I think you guys need to read $2 a Day. That's the book that you guys need to read. $2 a Day by Catherine Eden and Luke Schaefer. You need to read that book called $2 a Day. No, I'm not sponsored by no one. I'm just saying you need to read it because most of you don't read. Most of you don't read. I bet you this is the first time a lot of you even heard about what Gatsby was about. You guys need to read. And yeah, so that is the end of today's episode. Next week, hopefully the news, hopefully I have a little more positivity to spread to you guys. Probably not. Maybe not. Maybe I will, but I'm gonna give it to you real, and that's just it. So with that said, I will talk to you guys later. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you in my next one.